been good to have been with you. I appreciate the confidence that you've had in me and asking me to come to have a small part in this gospel effort. Appreciate the leading of the singing in such a good fashion and the way that you have participated. Thank you for all the prayers that's been said, and we're grateful for our visitors who have been with us throughout the meeting. Especially thankful for the members who have come so well. I think we overlook them sometimes. A number of you have been here every single service, and I want you to know that we appreciate that a great deal. It's been good to be with Keith and his family in this effort. Appreciate their work, and good to be in their home, and I thank them for their hospitality. Those of you that invite us to be with you in regards to partaking of food, that's been good as well. Appreciate that very much. That's always a pleasant part of a gospel meeting, to associate with you from that level. Thank you very much. Been good to have been with you, and I look forward to being with you again sometime in the future. I want to talk to us tonight about who cares. As a basis for the study, I'm reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 142, verse 4. Psalm 142, 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. It would be sad indeed if nobody cared. I think one of the problems that we face in regards to keeping the church together and keeping it strong and encouraging others to come is sometimes we don't show that we care. I'd like to impress our minds tonight that as you read the pages of divine inspiration, it's filled with expressions of concern. I'd like to catalog some of those for us tonight. The first one I want us to look at, that is, the Bible says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that God gave. John 3:16, there is an expression that we need to learn to appreciate. The fact that the Bible says that God gave is an expression of concern. I got to thinking about that. Just what did God give to show that he cares? I go back and I first of all learned that in the beginning that he gave us life. That's how we got here. God created man in his own image, Genesis 1:26 and 27. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible records that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different than that. That's how we got here. God created us. He gave us life. And Paul, in writing the people in Acts 17:28, the Athenians, said that in God we live and move and have our being, all because God cares. Not only did he give us life, the text I read in John 3:16 indicates that he gave his begotten son, his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You think of that for a moment. The fact that God was willing to depart with his only son from the portals of heaven to come and take upon himself flesh, live among men, be treated as he was, and finally crucified for the sins of the world because he cares. That's why. Not only did God give us life and give his son, but God also gave us a book by which to live. Oh, it's not the book of the month. It's not even the book of the year. But it's the book of books. It's the only book that has been written that tells us from whence we came, why we're here, and where we're going when it's all over. It's the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul records that all Scripture is, remember, given. God gave us the Scriptures by which to live and direct our lives. Didn't have to do that, but because he cares, he did. But also, whenever you think about the fact that God gave, the Scriptures indicate that he has given us eternal life. Now, we don't have eternal life here and now. It's in the world to come. In 1 John 5:11, the scriptures record, and this is a record. John, what does the record say? That God hath given to us, a particular us, his people, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. If I'm in Christ, I have the hope, Titus 1:2, and the promise, 1 John 2:25, of eternal life. Why? Because God cares. That's why. And I can read in the book of 1 John, what he talks about, 1 Peter 5 and 7 rather, that casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. You ever get to thinking nobody cares? I would like to help you change your thinking about that by understanding that God gave. Not only does God care, but I want to assure you that the Bible teaches that Jesus cares. The expression I want to use to help you appreciate that is, the Bible says that Jesus wept. Remember the story in John 11, especially verse 35. In the book of John 11, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, died. Although Jesus had and did raise him from the dead, still showed and had compassion for those who were mourned because of their loss. And the Bible records the shortest words in the Bible when it says, Jesus wept. Ever wonder why he did that? He cares. That's why. Whenever you and I began to care like that for folk, you're going to see a big difference in their attitude toward things of a spiritual nature. You ever wonder why Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep? Because folks need that. I need that from time to time, and so do you. I need folks who care about me. And you need folks who care about you. It gives you that lift you need. It helps you to get up in the morning and get to going because you know somebody cares. Jesus cares. How long, by the way, has it been since you wept with somebody? I'm afraid we're getting a little hard-hearted sometimes in that we're too hard-hearted to cry. I often preach a sermon about grown men who cried. Good for you sometimes. We often sing, perhaps you do here, 466. Does Jesus care when my heart is pain, too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it all to him? Does he see? And the words of that chorus, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. What a song. The next time you get to thinking, who cares? Remember, Jesus wept. Also, as we catalog expressions of concern about who cares, I would call to your attention this one. I like this expression, where it records that Philip ran. Acts 8:30. You remember the story. I talked about it the other evening when I talked to you about if you'd been the eunuch. Philip. I sometimes talk about if you'd been Philip. How would you react? when Philip, who had been preaching the gospel, was ordered by the divine revelation to go and join himself to a man riding along in a chariot. I like the fact the Bible records that Philip ran. Show something about his attitude, his enthusiasm, if you please, his concern. He's in a hurry. I preach a sermon about men who ran, or men who were in a hurry. Try it sometime. Men who ran. By the way, let me ask you a question while we're talking about that. Did you ever run to teach somebody the truth? Did you? Walk? Right? Did you ever go to teach somebody the gospel of Christ so they can have life? Do you care that much? That's the very least that I can do for others. Teach them the truth. Like Andrew, when he had learned the Lord, the first thing he did, he put first things first, and then he found his brother and brought him to Jesus, John 1:40 to 42. You done that well? In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul penned, "The things you've learned, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able." Able to do what, Paul? Teach others also. Are you doing that? But let me show you another expression about this thing, about caring. Number four. The Bible says that Paul cared. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Listen to it. "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. They beat me." They had a limit of 40. They didn't want to miscount, and so they stopped at 39. You like that? You like to be beaten like that? I mean with rods. I don't mean with a little switch. Rods. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You ever been stoned? You don't want to be. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I suppose there's no uglier sight to a sailor than a wrecked ship. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in the ocean. Journeys often in perils of waters of robbers, our own countrymen, the heathen, in the wilderness, in the city, in the wilderness. And I suppose maybe the worst one, in perils among false brethren. Brethren can be really bad sometimes, especially when they want to be. In weariness, painfulness, watches often, hunger. Anybody here hungry? I doubt it. Thirsty, fasting, cold, naked. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, and I get this, the care. Now, to underscore that word in the Bible of all the churches. Paul cared. That's through verse 28. You think Paul enjoyed all this stuff? You think maybe when he got up in the morning, he said, "I hope I'll be shipwrecked tonight. I wish somebody would beat me again with those rods." You think that? You know better. Why did he suffer all this? I tell you why. He cared. That's why. By the way, how much do you care? How much? In 1 Corinthians 12:25. Paul said that there should be no schism in the body, but there should be the same care one for another. You show me a church where folks care for one another, and I'm going to show you a church that's going to stay together. It matters not what they go through, and they're going to grow when they care about each other, and they care about others who are not members of the church, who spend some time trying to help. But there's another one I want you to think about. That's about caring. That's what this lesson's about. You already got that, haven't you? I hope. Here's another one. Number 5. I really like this one. Where the Bible records that brethren sent. There are two examples I want to call to your attention. First one, Acts 11, 27 to 30. There was a dearth, like a famine. And there were brethren in need. Verse 29. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. I like that expression, which they did. Sometimes I hear brethren talking about things in this business meeting and then the next one, and never get around to get it done. They did it and went on something else, which they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I like these folks. Because they cared, they sent to relieve their needy brethren. And we need to do that today, right? Now, while I'm on this subject, I want to also point out how they did that. Because a lot of brethren don't understand that. Here were brethren, and over here is Judea. Now, Judea is a province. And in that province was more than one church of Christ. Because I read in Galatians 1:22 where he talked about the churches of Christ, or the churches in Judea. When these brethren sent relief to the brethren in Judea, how'd they do that? Well, if you were to listen to a lot of preachers tonight and a lot of elders in the Church of Christ, you would have the church sending the funds to some kind of a benevolent society. And they, in turn, might send it here and there and on it goes. You see all that? See that diagram? Let me show you how they did it. The Bible said they sent it to the elders. What elders? Of the needy churches in Judea. They sent it directly to the need without going through some kind of human organization to get the work done. You see that? That's scripture. And it's direct. It doesn't affect the autonomy of the local church. It keeps the autonomy rather than upsetting it. But why'd they do all that? I tell you why. They did all of that because one word, two words. They care. That's why. You care that much? But there's another one I want you to look at. This time it comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. This one had to do with benevolence. This one has to do with preaching the gospel or evangelism. I like these folks. You know why I like them so much? One of the finest churches in all the book of God, I believe it's the church at Philippi. Paul said, 4:15 beginning. Now what ye Philippians know, what do they know? That in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church, so don't even try to hook another church in here now, no church, communicate with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, no church and ye only. That ought to settle that. About how many churches involved in that. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent. That's my phrase. That's my point. Brethren who sent. Sent once and again under my necessity. Paul is the fellow involved. The church is the church at Philippi. Two P's. One's for Paul and one's for Philippi. Okay? And he's preaching in Thessalonica. And the church at Philippi sends, he says, to his needs, whatever that were, they were. How'd they do that? He said they sent it to him. I know it didn't go through. See, here's how it works today. Here's a church. And they'll send it to a sponsoring church someplace, and they'll send it to the preacher. Well, do you see that thing in that passage? In the bottom? I don't think so. Send it to his need, directly to him. No missionary society, no sponsoring church arrangement there, just directly to the preacher in the field. Isn't that simple? And we argue and fuss about that and say there's no pattern. There's the pattern. Philippians 4:15 and 16. This has to do with evangelism. This has to do with benevolence. There's a difference. And benevolence is sent to the elders, the needy churches, benevolence. Evangelism, they send it to the preacher directly in the field. One of the things that divided brethren years ago was a thing called the Missionary Society over here in Cincinnati, Ohio, still over there, 1849, in which a human organization was set up called the Missionary Society, Christian Missionary Society, in which churches would send funds to the organization. They, in turn, would send out to preachers and the like. Still over there. Alexander Campbell was his first president. The last report I saw from them, every dollar they get, they keep 95 cents right there. And only a nickel gets out in the field. That's not good economics. Much less being scriptural. And it's divided the church over the years. Brethren of late, just a few years ago, a church down in Cookeville, Tennessee, raised $10 million, the first phase, to advertise the church in a comic strip. 4,000 churches sent $10 million to a church to advertise the church in a comic strip. $10 million. Sponsoring church arrangement. Same thing as that, just call it something different. That wasn't done in Bible days. But my main point is, I want you to see that as well, of course. But brethren sent. Why? Because they cared. That's why. One other point in this gospel meeting is yours. Something else I want you to appreciate. When I read the expression that Jesus died, I know somebody cared. In the book of Hebrews 2:9, the Bible records that Jesus tasted death for every man. Every single man in all the world. Paul wrote the Corinthians. When he cataloged the gospel that preached to them, by which they were saved, which included the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And when he told them about that, one of the things he said was, Jesus died. Wonder why he did that. He didn't have to. On the cross, he said, I got power to come down. Even though some of our brethren thinks he had no power while he was here. Why did he do all that? Why did he suffer like he did? Can you picture him on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth? They put a crown of thorns on his head, mocked him and spit on him, shouted, Hail, King of the Jews, which they didn't really believe. And then took a sword and pierced his side, from which flowed blood and water. I wonder why he did all that. He cared. That's why. Question. How much do you care? Father, a little closer home. How much do you care about your own soul? Jesus done his part. God's done his part, and they're not going to do anything else. They've already done their part. Somebody says, what's my part? To hear the gospel. You've been doing that all week. You heard it tonight. Do you believe it? Surely you believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Would you turn from your sins and repentance? Quit doing what's wrong, do what's right? Would you be willing to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He died that you might live. He became homeless that you might have a home. He became thirsty that you might never thirst. He became tired that you might have rest. He said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Then you need to be baptized. Jesus died, shed his blood in his death. And when you're baptized, you can be baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3-4, where he shed his blood. That's where you contact the effects of the shed blood. That's the only way the blood saves, by the way. You'll never reach the blood until you're baptized. I don't care what you do. That's what the Bible says about it. Romans 6:3-4. John 19:34. Rise to walk in a new life, Romans 6:3-4. To be added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. To take up the cross to follow him, Matthew 16:24. To be steadfast and unmovable, 1 Corinthians 15:58. be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, that heaven might be your home, John 14, 1-6. Had a better offer than that today? I doubt it. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. You're a member of the church here, but you've been unfaithful. Maybe you've been doing things that's brought discredit to the Lord's name and disgrace to his house. You want by repentance and confession and prayer straighten all that up. Why don't you do it tonight, right now, while we sing.